Okay. Today we're going to talk about Aharon. We all know that Parsas Ki Tisa deals with the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the Egel. And Aharon presents a unique conundrum, a very great difficulty, because of his role. We want to know, what was Aharon's role in the Chet HaEgel? At first glance, we're going to see that what was his role?
He made it.
And we're going to see that presents a number of different problems. So let's go through the psukim, and we'll see after we go through the psukim how much time I have allotted left at the end to sort of address where Aharon kind of fits in. And we're going to look at it from the perspective of hopefully the Ibn Ezra and Ramban, and we'll see where we go from there. So Perek Lamed Bet, this is page 492. Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe laredet min ha'har. Okay. The nation saw, what does boshesh mean? Boshesh, what is a similar word that you know of in Hebrew to boshesh?
Boshal.
It's a little strange. It's a little strange. The boshesh is a difficult word to translate. In fact, in the Midrash, boshesh says, al tikri boshesh el ba'shesh. The Moshe Rabbeinu was, he came ba'shesh.
Six
what?
Six
hours late. Right, that's what the Midrash says. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to go out for 40 days and 40 nights, and they calculated a day off, 6 hours. The Moshe Rabbeinu was 6 hours. Look at Rashi. I think if it's in here, Boshesh. Boshesh Moshe. Kitagumo Lashon Igor. It means late. Here. Third line in the Rashi. You with me, Miriam?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, in Rashi, I'm just reading. Third line in the Rashi. Second column. Yes, we intentionally make it so small that you can't read it. We make it that small on purpose. Oh, and Miriam, want to show them your Chumash? Miriam happened to have an art scroll Chumash at home with the Rashi.
Right. So you have the Rashi here, and then they have it in.
Ideally, my ideal Chumash I've been searching for is the Chumash with English and Hebrew and Rashi with the vowels. But they don't make such a Chumash.
But what they do here, they've got here the...
Just the Rashi, not translation.
Oh,
well, even here, the problem is.
But you see here, but what I'm saying that they use in Otiot Ivri.
Right here,
Rashi.
Correct. Right in here, they have the Rashi, but it's a 5-volume set. We can't afford 25-volume sets. Done. Okay.
Oh, we can afford it for the people who are Nork.
No,
what did you say?
No, the Nork doesn't pay for that. Kikishalah Moshe Lahar. When Moshe went up to the Har, Amar Lahem, he said to them, Lasof Arba'im Yom Aniba. B'toch Vav Sha'ot. At the end of 40 days, I'm coming in the first 6 hours. So they thought, what's day one? Today is day one. For example, I'll give an example. A baby is born. If you have a firstborn child, okay, then what do you have? What do you have? You have a bris, and then
pigeon a
bang. What day? After 30 days. 31st day. They have to have 30 days. So the question is, so the first day counts as the first day. I mean, the day the baby's born, it's not a full day. That's the first day.
So it's the 31st
day. Correct. Like when you have a bris, the eighth day is like the baby's born on a Sunday. When is the bris?
Sunday.
On a Sunday. One, two, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Sunday is the eighth day. So they thought, Yom Sha'alah min haminyanu, just like for a bris, that day was one of the counting days. V'hu amar lehem shleimin. He said full days, whole days. Arba'im yom v'leilo imam. Okay, the day and night, a 24-hour period. V'yom aliyato ein leilo imo. Sharai b'zayin adeshivan alah. Say him, when Moshe went up, it wasn't a full day, so it doesn't count. Yimsa, turns out, yom arba'im b'shivasa v'tamas. So what's the 40th day? When Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come down? When they thought he was supposed to come down and they built the Egel HaZahav,
this is 16.
Shivasar B'Tammuz. B'Tes Zion, on the 16th day, Baha Satan, the Satan came, the Irbev Es HaOlam, he confused the world. The Hara Demus Choshech V'Afela B'Irbuvia. And he showed them a mixture of darkness and confusion. Lomar, as if to say, Vadai Mes Moshe Lekach Ba'irbubia La'olam. Meaning, it's like thundering and lightning and there's fog and clouds. And so what do the people say? Why is everything bad? It must be Moshe died. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, the Satan, Mes Moshe. Moshe did die. Shekhar Ba'oshe Shos V'loba. Hey, isn't it 6 o'clock? And Moshe, it's 6 hours of the day. It's already noon and Moshe's not here. Okay. So in, so that's what it means. So, et cetera, et cetera. So what happens? I mean, it's a very powerful Rashi. But there's this confusion. There's this state of panic. There's a state of not knowing what to do. And when people don't know what to do, so then they become desperate. And they resort to drastic measures. So the Midrash says, according to Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was coming in the 6th hour, but it was a day off. They miscounted by one. It was a miscommunication. And because of that miscommunication, the Jewish people sinned. Let's go on. 494. Vayikahel ha'am al Aharon. The congregation gathered. What does al mean? He gathered al Aharon.
Around him.
Around him? Towards him? With him? What does that mean on him?
In front of.
What's the difference between Vayikahel ha'am el Aharon and Vayikahel ha'am al Aharon? What would be the difference between the two?
With
L
two.
Right. Al
means including him. To include him?
Al means?
On.
What does that mean on, though?
That they were maybe angry.
Ah, right. Very good. When you gather on somebody, you're against him. You're attacking, in a sense.
Like
okay?
Ganging up on
yeah, him? Yeah, ganging up on. Very good. You're ganging up on him. Yeah. Right? What's the difference between ganging up on him and ganging with him? Very big difference.
They're against him.
Correct. By Yemura the Avon, they said, Kum Aselanu Elohim. Make for us an Elohim. I'm not going to translate that word because it's a little bit difficult to translate. Asher Yelchul Lefaneinu, that will go before us. Ki ze Moshe Ha'ish Asher Ha'elanu Me'eres Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Me'hayalo. We don't know what happened to this man, Moshe. So we need an Elohim that will yell Asher Yelchul Lefaneinu. Yelchu in the what?
It will go before us.
Right. But it's interesting, it's in the plural. Kum aselanu Elohim. Right, Elohim is also in the plural. Right.
So they're not ready for one.
Well, right. Right. Okay. Vayomer Elohim Aharon. What does Aharon say? Harku nizmei hazahav asher be'aznei nishechem. Take the earrings of gold that is in the ears of your wives. Bineichem ubinotechem, your sons and your daughters, v'havi'u elai. So Aaron said, you know, where did they get these gold earrings from?
Egypt.
When they left
Egypt,
yes.
Right. How long had they had them for?
40 years.
How long had they had them for?
It was like 6 weeks.
Up to this point. How long is it from Pesach until Shavuos?
7 weeks.
And from Shavuos, Moshe was gone for 40 days. Right, another 40 days and 40 nights, another 5.5 weeks. So let's say for 14 weeks, but it's 3 months, right? They've had these gold earrings, necklaces and earrings for 3 months. Before that, what did they have?
Shum davar.
Nothing.
They were slaves.
Right. So what does Aaron say to them? Aaron says to them, you want to build a gold idol?
Give them that.
How much do you like your gold?
Did he figure that they wouldn't give it? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just sort of suggesting, right?
Hey, if you had nothing and all this,
right? You say to people, right? How important is it to you? You know, all of a sudden when somebody has nothing, and all of a sudden they find this newfound wealth, they win the lottery.
Right.
It's very hard for them to.
And then all of a sudden, give it to me.
Yeah, to give it up.
I don't think so.
Right. What's that? I carry for a short time. So what do they do? Vayisparku kol ha'am es nizmei hazahav asher be'oznehem. So the whole nation took off the nizmei hazahav asher be'oznehem. Okay? That is in their ears. Vayaviru al Aharon. They did it. Fine.
Why it was their first inclination when Moshe doesn't show up to make an idol? I mean, why isn't it like, you know, Aharon, why don't you take over for him? Or why find us another person? Why is the inclination make us something?
Why didn't Al just say no?
Good.
That's a better question.
Well, you're assuming that he's making an idol.
Well, that's a, okay. What else would he be doing with the gold?
Good question.
But
why doesn't Aaron just say no?
Well, wait.
He's afraid they'll rebel.
Yeah. 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 You can't fight City Hall. Yes, you can.
They all are. They have the anger.
You can't do the question.
They put a question in the
money. Okay, and therefore what?
They won't listen to him.
They all ganged up on the 600,000
came out. That's not 600,000. It's a mob, but it isn't all of them.
Why is this their first thing? I mean, how bad off are they that this is their first inclination? He's gone.
How bad off are they? Well, you tell me. You have a whole nation in the middle of the desert. Right? Forget the mentality of slaves.
Go
here
back.
You are. Imagine you're stuck in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and a guide brought you there.
And all of a sudden, he disappears.
No, but more than that,
all of a sudden, he climbs up a mountain and dies.
No, but even more important than that.
Yes.
He was the one who spoke to Hashem to give him food and to give him
well,
drink.
The food's still there.
That's true, but he was the one that had a problem.
He climbs up the mountain and dies. How are you going to get home? No cell phones. No satellite tracking system.
How about Haran? He was as much a part of getting them out of Mitzrayim. No,
was he?
Well, yeah. A little part. They know he was involved.
He was a spokesman, wasn't he?
They're going to him for this. Why not?
Let me ask you, if the President of the United States is assassinated, do they bring his spokesman in to become the President?
The Vice President.
Oh, the Vice President.
Yeah.
Right, so, but this is, remember, Aaron is not the Kohen Gadol yet. Aaron is Moshe's brother.
Right.
Okay. Right? So he is, obviously they go to him.
Right, yeah.
Why not say, you take over that? Not make us something else, just take over.
You're coming at it from a very democratic mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning,
but I mean, were they so bad off?
What bad off?
That they're only that they're in.
Think about it from the perspective also of a monarchy, right? Also, the mentality that you have, right? When if you have like a king or a leader, you follow the leader. You're looking for somebody to guide you in a sense. Okay, you don't choose your next leader. The next leader has to sort of, meaning they all knew that Moshe was divinely chosen. Right, so they go to Aaron, but obviously they feel that he's not able to lead them. I mean, from what we know of Aaron's personality also, that he really was very giving to people and very open to people. I mean, even look at this person, his personality here. Like they ask him something, and his personality is...
Okay.
Right.
Wasn't he also afraid of somebody
showing... So Mrs. Hirsch asked, why didn't Aaron just say no? One second. It's in Rashi somewhere. Here. Let's read one more pasuk and then we'll read the Rashi. So first of all, Rashi says, look at the Rashi in Beis, Ba'oznei Nisheichem. Go to your children and your sons and your daughters. Meaning, if he said to me, Rabbi, I want you to, I want you to give me your watch, because for whatever reason, you have to give... That's fine. I would do that. Right? More quickly than you say, I want you that necklace that you gave your wife, I want you to give me that. Right? I think that's human nature. So says Rashi, Amar Aharon b'libo, said Aharon in his heart, Hanashim v'hayiladim chasim b'tachshiteihem. The women and the children, they like their stuff. Shema yitakev hadavar u'betoch kach yavo Moshe. So let them fight about it for a little while. Right? Let them argue about who's going to give away whose stuff. And, all right, by the time that they end up arguing...
Does the Aharon know that they're wrong about the timing?
Yeah, why doesn't he say so?
Why doesn't he just say...
Why is he just stalling for time? Because you're right and you're right.
He said maybe they'll fight and they'll take
you. Yeah, but I think that, why doesn't he just say you're a day off? I mean, it's always very easy to judge reading the book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, so what does he do? Vayikach mi adam, and this is in the language of the Chumash, it's very difficult. Vayachar oto bacheret, he formed it in a molten, he took it in his hands and bound it up in a cloth. Vayashehu egel masecha, and he fashioned it into a molten calf.
I thought it just jumped out. Didn't I read a midrash someplace?
You definitely did read a midrash someplace. But in the psukim, it didn't just jump out. In the psukim, Aaron makes the golden calf. Vayomru, and they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael Asher He'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Somewhere in there, somebody made a mistake. Okay, not good. But let's go through the details again. Aaron shapes the golden calf. At least that's what the Torah says. Okay? One second. Look at...
That's bad.
What?
That's bad.
Yeah. Look at Rashi, the second Rashi in the first, in the Pasuk. Four lines from the end of the column. Four lines from by Egel Masecha. See where it says Egel Masecha?
No. Where?
Egel Masecha. Four lines from the end of the brash of the first column on 494. Egel Masecha. Yeah. Kevanji Shlichu Le'or. I'm not sure how to read this word. Bakur, right? Since he says he threw it into the fire. Bo mechashve erev rav she'alu imahem mimitzrayim v'asuhu bakshafim. What happened? There's always those classic erev rav, you know? The rabble rousers came from Egypt and they used their sorcery and they formed a golden calf. Okay? Okay. V'yesh omrim, some say, Micha hayasham Sheyatsa mitoch dimusei binyan shnitma'ech bo mimitzrayim. There's a guy named Micha there who had escaped from the walls that he was trapped in. Bahia biyado shem v'tash shekatab bo Moshe Allah alei shur alei shur. When Moshe Rabbeinu was going to leave Mitzrayim, everybody ran to get gold. What did Moshe Rabbeinu go to do? He had to go get the bones of Yosef. Yosef, they say, the Midrash says Yosef was in a sarcophagus. Thank you. And Paro didn't want the Jews to get Yosef's bones. So what he did was he put them in the bottom of the Nile. He weighed those bones down and put it at the bottom of the Nile. So Moshe took a piece of paper and he wrote on it the name of God, or he wrote Alei Shor, Alei Shor. Rise, Shor means ram, because that was Yosef's symbol. V'ha'alot Arono mitoch Yosef mitoch Hanilus. To bring up Yosef, with this guy found that piece of paper, threw it into the pot.
They say a crucible.
A crucible, thank you. Threw it in the pot, and out comes the Egel HaZahav. Okay, so what you see here is just very interesting. On the one hand, what did the Pesukim say? Dora, what did the Pesukim say about Aaron?
That he formed the molten.
He made the Egel. What does the Midrash say about Aaron? No, he did not. But what you have to ask yourself when you see a Midrash like that is, why would the Pesuk indict him if the Midrash believes that he's not responsible? Why would you make it sound like in the Pesuk, like Aaron actually made the Egel, if some guy, you know, put the gold in and some guy, you know, drew something out? You know, in a way, it is very interesting. You know, how long does it take to make a golden calf? I say, okay, we're going to make a golden calf. We have 3,000 people here. We're going to make a golden calf. And I say, okay, I put a rush job on it.
Months.
When do you think we'll get it done?
Months.
It has to melt. You have to get out the impurities. You have to mold it. You have to shape it.
Fire it.
Why? It takes a long time.
Months and months and months.
So, you know, I mean, on the one hand, you're like, I don't know, like, what do you want? I'm like, God, like, what came out? On the other hand, he's held culpable. The Midrash says, the Chumash says, that it's like he made it.
But the Midrash is implying, isn't it, that it's Moshe's words, his writing.
No, that's somebody taking Moshe's writing out of context, in a sense. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Vayar Aharon. Aaron saw and he built an altar in front of it. Aaron called down and he said, Chag l'Hashem Machar. Okay? Tomorrow will be the Chag for who?
L'Hashem.
So you'll ask me, hey, Rabbi, ask me a question.
So why did he build the golden Edom? They should worship that if he still believes in it.
Maybe he's calling the golden calf for L'Hashem.
That's hard to say. Right. So it seems to be contradictory. On the one hand, how could it be that he would build a golden calf, and on the other hand, it's a Chag L'Hashem? Aren't those two exact opposite things?
Right. Doesn't say Elohim. You said L'Hashem.
L'Hashem. Right. The word Elohim can mean different things, by the way.
It means more than one.
Right.
Not the real Hashem.
Well, it's hard to know what Elohim means. Elohim means a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's ringing. Oh, that's you?
No calls between Wednesday.
That's right. You're busy.
I'm going to share.
Okay.
Yeah, she said goodbye and hello.
Call her later. How else should she come to this year?
She's in California.
Oh, no, she shouldn't come to this year. Okay. So on the one hand, it seems a little unusual. It says, on the one hand, Aharon, seeing what came out, built a mizbeach, an altar in front of it. Well, he built, meaning, if the Midrash is 100% correct, if the Midrash is accurate in the details of the story, if Aharon throws the gold in, so he thinks, okay, well, let's smear around. All of a sudden, comes out of it. Wow. Golden calf, right? Pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
So would your next step be then to go ahead and build an altar in front of it?
Yeah.
No. Go back in! Right. You know, burn it up again.
Do over. Do over. Right. Right.
You know, I really don't like how it came out. You know, let's remake it.
So he builds immediately a mizbeach, and then he says tomorrow
he says, no, Chag LaHashem Machar.
That's what I'm saying. He said, build an altar. Immediately, okay, it's all done now. We'll wait until tomorrow. Next
Rashi. Vayomer Chag LaHashem Machar. Second column. Velo Hayom. Not today. Why? Shema Yavo Moshe Kodem Shia Avduhu Zev Shuto. The simple explanation is, because why not today? Why tomorrow? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will come. Maybe he's late. Maybe he had to take a pit stop. I don't know. So clearly Aaron did not know exactly when Moshe was going to come either. Okay? Umidrasho b'vayikra rabba. The midrasho is in Vayikra rabba. Now let's read. Here we get to the interesting stuff. Dvarim harbe ra'o Aharon. Aharon saw many things. One, ra'a chur ben achoso shahaya mochichein v'harguhu. Okay, what happened? You asked me this research. Why did Aharon not say no? So I said, what happened was, it wasn't just Aharon. There's a man named Chur, who is his nephew, and Chur got up and said, don't you people do this. You're not going to do it, you're going to do it over my dead body. And they said, okay.
There's your dead body.
And that was his dead body.
Correct. So therefore, Aharon then went ahead, seeing that. You mean? Thank you. Thank you. Second time of the day. Thank you. Okay. Seeing that, therefore it says, Bizehu, this is what it means, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanav. He built a Mizbeach. Vayiven Mizvoach Lefanav. Mizvoach means someone who's brought as a Zevach, as a Korban. Va'od Ra'ah, he also saw Va'amar, Mutav Shiyitle Bi Hashirchon V'lo Bahem. I'd rather God's anger, his wrath, be placed on me as opposed to them. Is that an argument?
Well,
is that a legitimate argument? What? Right, it's not, to my mind, that's a very difficult one to condone. The Jewish people are going to sin, right? All people are going to sin, so therefore as rabbi, it's better for me to go ahead and sin. I'll cheat on my taxes so you don't have to, and therefore I'll take the brunt of the punishment. How do you, I don't really understand, that's a hard one. Anybody want to help me out on that one? No?
He's taking.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between saying, okay, we sin collectively. Right? Well, let's say we sin collectively. It's like our community made a mistake. So therefore, there's a nobility in saying, for me getting up and saying, I'm the leader of the shul, I made a mistake, I should take the fall for it. There is nobility in saying that. Mm-hmm. But there's no nobility in the shul wants to commit a sin, and before we go ahead and do that, I say, you know what? I'll do it for you. Because then I'll be the one responsible. And the bottom line is, who's responsible? Who is held responsible?
The leaders are responsible.
In the end, in this case, what happens to Aaron?
Nothing.
A little weird. Right. We're going to have to talk about that in a second. Rashi continues. The Od Ra'ah, and he said, V'amar, Inheim Bonim Es HaMizbeach, if they build the altar, Zem may be Tror, this guy's going to bring a stick, Zem may be Ra'ah, Zem may be Evan, this will be a stone. V'nim said, Melachtana, Suya Bebat Achat. It's going to happen right away. V'toch She'ani Boneh Oto, U'mit Atzer B'melachti, Ben Kach U'Ben Kach Moshe Ba. I'm going to be lazy, and maybe Moshe will come. Now, between you and me, right? If somebody says, you know, okay, we're going to build a mizbeach, we've got to build an altar, and Moshe's going to come, Don't get me wrong, but how long would it take me to build an altar trying to stall? Has anybody ever had a contractor? Right?
Yeah.
If you ever get into an argument with a contractor about money, you can be sure of one thing.
2 weeks longer delay.
Well, 2 weeks longer delay, that job isn't going to continue until you agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, I have to resolve these issues. We can't go move forward. I want to make sure the payments are all there. Blah, blah, blah. Here's Aaron. You know, so according to Rashi, Aaron says, you know, instead of you guys building it, I'm going to build it because I can delay. So the problem with that is, what's the problem? Where's the delay? Also, Aaron never learned, he didn't know the whole the theory of committees.
Right?
The productivity of committee is the inverse of the amount of people in the committee. Okay? So now if you have five people in the committee, it's going to take five times as long. You have 300,000 people in the committee. Well, first we have to commission a study to decide what type of altar should we commit, should we build. And then you're going to have an environmental impact study, and you're going to have to decide with the placement of the altar, the height of the altar. Our bima, you know, it's a beautiful bima, but what should it look like? What's the shape? What's the wood going to be made out of? How high should it be?
If you and the people,
these are all serious issues that have to be taken into account.
If you and the people, the more get
you are, it's always true. So basically, what I'm trying to show you is, according to Rashi, because Rashi looks into Aaron and says, what is Aaron's role in this? Yes, he did it, but? What's the but?
He was
against his own will.
Against
in effect, he was coerced. And every action that Rashi does, see how many Rashi we read? Four or five Rashis about different details that show that Aaron was trying to string them along, was trying to delay, was trying to, you know, take his time in the hopes that Moshe Rabbeinu would come down. Right? What gold, you know, he tries there. Where's the gold going to come from? Take from your wife. Or they take from themselves.
Every decision he made backfires.
Every single decision he makes backfires on him. Right? He tries not to make it. He throws it in. Out comes an egg of Hazaha.
Who gave the gold?
The
women didn't
want to
give
it.
No, the husband.
It says they gave themselves. The whole nation removed their gold bigs that were in their ears. Well, Aaron thought they wouldn't want to give. I mean, everything that Aaron does, it's interesting. So the way the Midrash reads it, Aaron is not responsible. He's almost a victim of circumstance. But why does the Torah then convict him? Why does the Torah then condemn him? Why does the Torah make him seem responsible? Because he did it. Bottom line is, he still did it. Okay, and which is interesting. That's Rashi's perspective. Okay. Let's skip a little bit and see what happens to Aaron. Pasuk Yud Tes. Yud Tes. Yud Tes. Vayihi, and it was. Kasher Karab El Hamachane. When Moshe got back, 498, sorry, when Moshe got close to the camp. Vayar et ha'egel u'mecholot, and he saw the egel and the mecholot and the wildness. Vayichar'af Moshe. Moshe became angry. Vayashlech v'yadav et haluchot, and he threw down the tablets, the luchos. Vayishaber otam tacharah, and he broke it at the bottom of the mountain. Vayikach et ha'egel asher asu, he took the egel. Vayishrof ba'esh. He burnt it in fire by Yitchan ad Asher Dak. You know, it's so interesting. Moshe's in a rage, right? It's hard to be in a rage for that long.
Yeah.
How long are you in a rage for? Okay, he threw down the tablets. And then he takes the thing and he burns it in the fire. And then he takes the gold that he burned and what does he do? How do you grind up gold? Until it's Dak, fine. How do you do that?
You can't imagine.
How do you do that? Wait until it's dark, and then by yizer al pnei hamayim, he spread it on the water. By yash al pnei yisrael, he made them drink. Drink this with the gold in it, the gold water. It's what you want drinking. That's a long time. No, it's a lot of rage. By yom Moshe al ara. Okay, here we go. What did they do that you could do such a thing? What in the world? What happened? Yomer Aaron, Yichar Ach Adoni, please don't be mad. Ataya Data et Ha'am ki Verahu. You know, one second, what is we did? You know that this people is disposed towards evil. They said, make for us a God, an Elohim, Asher Yol Chulafanim, that will go before us. We don't know what happened to Moshe. And they said to me, who's got the gold? I said, who's got the gold? They gave it to me. And I threw it in the fire. What do you know? That's the midrash. And the Moshe saw the nation for it was parua, exposed. Why? For Aaron has exposed it to them, exposed them to disgrace among those who rise up against them. That's a weird translation. Okay. Look at Rashi. Parua, what does parua mean? Anybody know? The term Rosh Parua. What is Rosh Parua? No, that's Pere with an Aleph.
Like wild.
Wild, very good. Rosh Parua means a woman whose hair is uncovered. Okay? So Rashi says, I'm uncovered. Parua. Migula. Nigala. Shinsova Kalona. If you're uncovered, what people see the worst things about you. Right? What do we normally cover up? Hide our faults. Right? When a person, when you make a mistake in front of somebody else, when you lash out in anger and you feel bad about that, right? So there are two elements that you feel bad about. One, you feel bad, you feel remorse that you did something, that you made a mistake. But the other thing you feel bad about is that you show that people saw you. It's very embarrassing when people see you at your worst. It's very, very difficult. So it says God, Moshe saw ki paruahu, this nation, the Jewish people, was exposed. Why? Ki farao Aharon. Aharon exposed the nation. Lishimtza b'kamehem. Look at Rashi. Shimtza. Last line on 498. Lihios lahem hadavar hazel lignos ufi ko hakamim alehem. Anybody who rises up against us in the future, they can use that against us. Hey, aren't you the guys that built that golden calf? Right at Har Sinai? Big mistake. Not a good idea. We wouldn't have done that.
But they're not around to
hear
that anymore.
What's that?
So they're still dying. They're not around to
hear. Who?
The people who made it.
Oh, we're still here today? Well, we don't hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's Aaron's role. I mean, when you read the Pesukim, let's skip down to on 500 for a second. Pasuk Lamed Hey, let me just see. I've got out of time. Vayigof Hashem et Ha'am. God struck the people with a plague. Al Hadavar Asher Asu Es Ha'egil. On this thing that they made the Egil. Asher Asa Aharon.
He has the responsibility.
Yeah, okay, he does. But what happened to him?
Aharon?
Yeah.
Don't his sons die because of
him? Because of him? Nadav and Avihu? They die because of the mistake they made. Yeah.
Made their own fire.
Everything that tradition tells us flies in the face of, apparently, the face value of what Aharon does. Right? I mean, I don't have to tell you, from the time you're children, if I were to ask you, somebody comes along and says, I want you to build an altar. I want you to build an idol. Right? What's a Jewish response?
No.
No. What? We're going to stone you to death.
You're supposed to die.
Nothing I can do. You do what you have to do. But I'm not building an idol. So even with all of Rashi's apologetics, he was stalling, he was delaying, he was pushing them off and hoping Moshe would come. It's very, very difficult. It presents great, great difficulty. How could it be that Aaron, Moshe's right-hand man, would on the one hand do such a thing, and then at the same time, at the very end of the whole episode, get off scot-free. 3,000 people died, and then God, how many more people died in the plague, and they all had to drink the water, and what happens to Aaron? Gets to be the Kohen Gadol. All right, talk it out. I need to get a chumash. Tom, what do you think?
Nobody?
It's a good conundrum.
Well, to live with that.
He had to live with it. He had to live with it. You know, as we today...
I was reading today, there's an article in the New York Times about a poet, a well-known black poet, who also happens to be on death row. Have you seen this on the channel?
No, I saw it online.
Oh, I saw it online. I saw it online, too.
Online.
Yeah. They say he's a master poet. I mean, to be honest with you, between you and me, I don't get poetry. It's just, you know.
Especially, yeah.
And, you know, it's like this little club of people for each other. Like, they all, like, the poets read the poetry and they're so moved, and then there's the rest of the world that have no idea what's going on. One second. Let me finish my thought, please. Wait, let me finish my thought. So, he's on death row for raping and killing a 94-year-old woman.
And this is the soul of a
poet. Right. So they say now, it's such a never. No, he did it. He admits to doing it. They say it's such a never. Why waste a life that has such potential?
Oh, it's like a right poetry.
Right. Right. They wanted him to live out the rest of his life at death row. To live with his crime. What?
He could still write poetry.
Where? In death row. Yeah, that's where he wrote his poetry. My attitude is, you know...
Why am I supporting this?
No, forget why am I supporting. You commit a crime, at some point you give up your rights. I don't care what talents you have. You know, there's always these ethical conundrums, like a person commits murder, and then he has the potential, let's say you discover that murderer locked inside of him is the potential to cure cancer.
What about the person...
That could be a good twilight zone.
Yeah, it could be.
Right? Do you execute him, or do you let him live and cure cancer? I don't know.
Let him cure cancer then.
You have an Aharon HaKohen, who according to the Chumash, built an Egel HaZahar. And instigated what was perhaps the most destructive event in Jewish history. Okay, we don't know the results of it, but it forever altered our relationship with God. I liken it to the following. I think I said this last year or 2 years ago. You just got married. You and your beloved go on your honeymoon. You know, you have the... Laila Rishona, that beautiful first night. So you take her to the Detroit Hilton, beautiful Hilton Hotel in the middle of Detroit. And lo and behold, you know, you wake up in the morning, your beloved husband isn't in the room. So you figure he went downstairs to go get you coffee, to come breakfast. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. What? Your wedding night. So you walk downstairs. You went to daven, right? He's having Kriya Shema. He's having Esther Kavana. You go downstairs, right? And you get downstairs, and you see that he's in another bedroom with some other woman.
What?
Right? So now, is that the end of the marriage? Is that the end of the marriage?
It should be.
If it isn't, it should be. And if it isn't, it forever, forever alters the marriage. So who's the she in our case? No. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the she. And what are we? We're the philandering good for nothing. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you know what? I want a divorce. That's what he says. And Moshe Rabbeinu somehow pulls it out and says, ain't no divorces, thank God. You're stuck with us?
Amen.
And that's it. But if you think that the nature of the relationship isn't different because of it, it is. And here's Aaron. And you say to him, he could be Aaron, he's going to bring about atonement and peace and wonderful things. But where's his responsibility? Where's his obligation? Where's his punishment? I'm sorry. I've even had a quick comment, and then we'll get to your question.
Well, you
brought
another
guy.
Are there any
Jewish
poets?
Sure, many Jewish poets. Poetry throughout the Middle Ages was not modern poetry. Yehuda Levi was a great poet, especially in the Sephardic era. In the era of the Sephardim, Ibn Ezra was a poet, but their poetry. If you look, a lot of poetry is exaltatory poetry. Mm-hmm. The keynotes are all poetry. all poetry. Shlichos are all poetry. Well, Shir HaShirim is biblical poetry. Correct. I mean, there's a long line of poetry. I think also poetry is about trying to understand and enter the mind of the person who's conveying it through his poetry. And I think that that's my problem. I just don't want to get to know these people all that well. If you know what I'm saying. You know. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, you were going to say something. Sorry, Mr. Sherman.
I wondered whether Aaron's behavior,
Because he took license, they took license.
They were doing it in servitude.
It's an interesting conjecture, but there's no way to ever know. What, to share, oh, to connect Nadav and Avihu to Aaron? Not really. Not that I'm familiar with. You know, I mean, it is without a doubt. It's interesting. Some of the Mepharshim say that Aaron never makes it to Eretz Yisrael, right? But Aaron isn't the one. Why? Because Moshe still hit the rock. Hey, you know, Aaron didn't hit the rock. Why is he responsible? Why is he culpable? So some say that he's paying back for what he did in the Egel. Right, but he's his own keeper, if you know what I mean. Okay. I'm just looking for the even answer. Okay. Everyone has an essay. Every one of the Parshanim has an essay on this, obviously, to try to understand. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are now. Yeah. Amar Avraham HaMachaber. He says, so says Abraham, his name is Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra. Right? So he says, so that was his name. So he says, I have to say, Sarich ani la'arich al dvar ha'egel. I'm going to have to, you know, normally he's very, very brief. But I've got some things to say about the egel. Some people think that Achor was killed and Aaron was afraid. Who says that? Rashi says that. Some people said that he was afraid that they would kill him. V'alderech ha'pshat, if that's the truth, im ma'aseh ha'egel avodah zarah, if the egel is idolatry, lama pachad Aaron siyeh harei. What are you afraid of? V'halo meisu achar av kama chasidim miYisrael, shlo higiya ma'alatam l'ma'alat Aaron b'chasidut. So the Ibn Ezra says, first of all, I'm going to establish ground rules. I will not submit the idea that Aaron was anything less than a great tzaddik and a chassid. Your first simple answer could be, Aaron is Moshe's weaker younger brother, who is not as righteous, nor as spiritual, nor as religious, or as devoted to God, as Moshe was. So Moshe was stuck with a younger brother, what can you do? Says Ibn Ezra, that is unacceptable. I mean, it's also unacceptable. Aaron was a great righteous man. He says, if it's Avodah Zarah, even before, you know, the Torah is given, Tarshu Bal Peh, Yarigal Yavor, etc., etc., Aaron would have known. So I can't accept that it was Avodah Zarah, because if it was, many, many lesser people, unfortunately, throughout the ages, have given their lives to sacrifice themselves for Avodah Zarah. Okay, skip. Told me menu. So if that's true, then according to Rashi, then Chor would have been better than Aaron. The imhu asav v'dazara. If Aaron had actually built an idol, chayav haya Moshe lahargo, kodem ovdei ha'egel. Right? What did Moshe do? Mil Hashem elai. All you're with me. What are you supposed to do? Go kill all the people worshiping idols. Who's the first guy? Who's the first one you kill? The guy who made the idol. How come Aaron isn't responsible? Behine Moshe, he's Pavel, Ba'adel. Well, if he doesn't kill Aaron, what does he do for Aaron?
Pray.
He davens for him. And he kills the people that Aaron that worshipped it. The Echaya Acharkin Mechaper of Bnei Yisrael who bezaro at self kol hadoro. How could it possibly be that a man who is responsible really for the worst sin, one of the two worst sins in Jewish history, that he becomes a symbol of kapara, of atonement, with that on his head?
The Meraglim.
It's Adam and Meraglim.
What?
Meraglim. Okay. The Yesh Omrim, some people say, Ki Yisrael Ramu Aharon. The Jewish people tricked him. Sha'asu Dfus Ha'egel. They made a mold. V'hishtich Aharon Hazah Va'esh. V'lo Hirgish. And Aharon, Nabach, what can you do? He threw it in. No, he didn't know what they were trying to do. V'zeh Eino Nachon. No way. That's not true. Why? Ki Aaron, ech bachru Hashem im hayat tipesh shiyirmu b'sa'im. God would never have picked Aaron if he was a fool and a moron. Ba'acherim amru, others say, this is a good one, ein ze Aaron sh'asa ha'egel achi Moshe. This is another Aaron, not that same Aaron. You don't like that one, huh?
No.
Gam ze hevel.
Another guy.
Gam ze hevel. Sorry, I don't buy it either. Et cetera, et cetera.
True personality.
Okay.
It was his evil twin brother.
Maybe his personality. Maybe it wasn't his good part. It was the bad part that did it.
His evil twin brother.
Yeah.
Okay. One second.
Well, he wasn't himself. When he
did it. Yeah. Yeah. No, maybe
he wasn't himself.
Here. Yeah. Some say, Gam Omrim Rabim. Some also say, Ki Piresh, when it says, Chag l'Hashem machar, Aaron said, Chag l'Hashem machar. What Aaron really meant was, tomorrow we're going to kill you all because it's going to be a holiday to God and all you idol worshippers are going to get killed.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a neat interpretation.
Yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
Chag l'Hashem machar means, you all worship idols and we're going to kill you all tomorrow. It'll be a holiday for Hashem. In spite of, he didn't even like that. He says, you know why? Because when you say something, you mean what you say. You don't mean, you can't, you know, you can't read in words that don't exist. Okay. I'm going to skip this left side you're going, and I'm going to go to Rabbi Ben Ezra's opinion. He's on. Here he says, V'ata echel lefaresh derek tzara k'tzat hasod. I'm going to tell you some of the sod. Chalila sha'asa Aaron avodah zara. God forbid that Aaron would make avodah zara. Gam Yisrael lo bikshu avodah zara.
They didn't want
avodah zarah. They didn't want an idol. Rak chashvu shemes Moshe. Shehi siyam yam suf kasher pirashnim. They thought Moshe died. Moshe taught them. Ki ra'u shehaman eino yored b'har Sinai. Right? They see this man coming here, but there's no man falling in Har Sinai. U'Moshe hit'akev sham arbaim yom. How long is Moshe there for?
40 days.
En koch ba'adam lachios zeh hazman below ma'achal. You can't live that long without food. So Moshe is for sure dead. The kacha umilat Elohim, the word Elohim, kavod chone b'tzurat gviya. When they say naseh lanu Elohim, I'm going to read you the words. Kavod, glory, chone, resting, b'tzurat gviya, in a certain shape, in a form. Via is a molten, is an image. Meaning, what were they asking for? They're asking for some divine representation,
concrete,
within the community. The kachamu asher yelchu lefaneinu. Right, they want something that will go before us. Something to represent God that will go before us.
We'll lead them.
And they'll see the difference.
Why?
It's still something. It's still, and they're not going to worship it. They're not going to start.
There's a big difference between. I mean, both of them are forbidden. obviously, right? Lo tase lechem pesel kol tmuna, right? It's awesome. But there's a big difference between saying, I believe in God, but I need some divine representation of God for which I need to follow, or saying, I believe that this idol is the thing that really got me out of it,
one step lower.
It's a big, big step lower. Okay? V'hine v'chvod Hashem, and because of this, na'aseh al-kein, it was made because, in order for kavod Hashem, al-kein b'na'aron mizbeach l'fanach. Otherwise, why would Aaron have built a mizbeach? You don't build an altar to idolatry. But if the whole purpose of it is to worship God, it's a way of reaching God, therefore, she's b'chul l'machal kavod Hashem. Tomorrow, we're going to have worshiping to honor God. V'chein asu ka'asher tzivam. Okay, and what happened afterwards? Afterwards, here he says, "Ki lo bichu rak asher yilech lifneihem ulchavod Hashem asitiv." So Moshe comes and says, "Aaron, what did you do?" Aaron said, "I didn't do it as idolatry. I did it for kavod Hashem." Rak ba'avur sheyisal hayu mitarvim sham erev rav. There were other people in there in the mix, and there were some people. He says. That took it and did exactly the opposite. Aaron built. Here's the problem. Why does God say, don't build any shapes, no images, no graven images?
Because
it's a very dangerous thing.
We call it a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is a slippery slope.
It is.
You build the idol, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the mistake that Aaron made. And because of this, says Ibn Ezra, Aaron himself, did he make a mistake? Yes, but his mistake was a judgment mistake. It wasn't the incredible, terrible lapse of building of Avodah Zarah, but it was a mistake in judgment of not realizing the consequences of his actions. For that, you know, he is held responsible, but it isn't the responsibility of creating an idolatry. You know, it's very often you have the right intentions, you have the greatest of intentions, right? You think you're doing something for the right reasons, and it spirals horribly out of control. You've got to be careful, you've got to make judgments.